stands to be beautiful. He is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. They may offer unto the Lord an offering of true righteousness.
Listen to the international broadcast, The Overcomer, and this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. From Baltimore, South Carolina, we bring you a message and proclamation of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My servant, I want you this day to speak unto my people and unto the United States of America. For the day of her judgment has now come up before me, and it's time that I must move against this nation and against those within her ranks who call themselves my people.
Judgment of the Lord thy God is now resting upon you, even at the time. The coming of my Son Jesus Christ is a set time.
Because you have not heard calamity upon calamity, tragedy upon tragedy, and evil upon evil, and destruction upon destruction will be upon this place, saith the Lord. Hear me, world. I send unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, neither would they hear, though one rose from the dead. I sent unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, neither would they believe, though one rose from the dead.
Therefore saith the Lord God, it is now the time that I have spoken, and it shall come to pass, saith God, when throughout all the world there will be chaos, there will be floods and famines and earthquakes and fires and plagues on every side. You have chosen to serve Satan, so therefore at the hand of Satan you shall enjoy his benefits of sin and destruction and death and dying. You have chosen him as your God and not the Almighty Yahweh, and Satan comes only to kill and to destroy and to rob, and so shall it be. No longer shall it be prolonged.
It was at that time, and it was in turmoil, poverty everywhere, and that's when God sent me there. I took with me the good old American dollar, and I was determined that I was going to help my brothers and sisters. All I had was 2,000, but even 2,000 at that time, if it had any worth at all, would do something to help me feed some of the brothers. When I got there in Jamaica, I said to the pastor, let's go down to the market and buy some food. He said, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you because there's no food out there. The Cuban soldiers are walking the street. Anybody rises up in any kind of a protest to blow you away, I'm not going. Well, I'm a good old American. That won't happen to me. So I went. I went to the market, walked into a gigantic building that at one time was filled with food stuff from all over Jamaica. It was empty. The old dollar in my pocket, I just couldn't buy because there was nothing there to buy. So I kept running around, and I finally came to a little meat market in one of the display cases. There was a little small roast, maybe 4 or 5 pounds. I said to the man behind the counter, I'll take that roast, please. He said, it's not for sale. I pulled out the good old American dollar, a $20 bill. I said, I'll give you $20 for it, U.S. He said, I told you, it's not for sale. So I upped it. I pulled out the old mighty dollar again. I said, I'll give you 50 U.S. dollars. He said, mister, I told you that that's not for sale. And so I pulled out $100 American, or a good old American dollar, going to buy anything. Huh? I said, I'll give you $100. He said, don't you understand, sir, that meat, that roast, is not for sale at any price. He said, don't you grasp that here in Jamaica, we have a tremendous shortage of food, and that is the last piece of meat in Jamaica within 100 miles of this place. So what good would it do me to buy or take your money to sell you this meat, and I end up with $100, and I still can't buy no meat? I'm the butcher. That's the last piece of meat, and I'm going to use it myself. Had money, but I couldn't buy. And you're going to have money one of these days in the bank, in your stocks and bonds, and you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark. What a tragic thing. Go to now, you rich men. And the reason I'm doing this today, now, is because, again, we're reading, hearing. I read yesterday that at the bottom of the credit ratings in the world, the United States has hit the bottom. We are so in debt. We are in debt that we out-debt the entire world. Who do we owe it to? Who's going to demand we pay it? Is payday going to come? I can tell you, the day of the Lord is coming. The coming of the Lord drawing nigh. And those of you that are trusting in riches and things of this world, your love is not going to work. Your faith won't work. Love not the world, neither the things the world is offering to you. For if you do it, then the love of God is not in you. And without the love of God in you, on you, you'll have no faith, no matter how much you believe. For faith works by love. Can God? Can God provide when there's no money, when there's no food in the wilderness, when there's no water? Can God? And they soon forgot. They remembered not. I pray that you don't fall prey to that. Remember, consider, and beware. Little children, it is the last time. Antichrist will come. Antichrist has come. He's working among us constantly. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's out challenging anyone who believes in God and has faith in God. Grudge not one against another. Don't be envious of evildoers. Seek not the things of this earth, but seek the kingdom of heaven. And repent you, for the kingdom of heaven. I want to tell you a little story here in reference to finances and giving and how you're doing, why you're doing it, what you do it. A few weeks ago, a woman wrote me from up in North Carolina. Never knew her before, never met her. And she had sent an offering of $81,000. That's a lot of money. I immediately told my brothers and sisters about it here. And I said, this woman's put me in a difficult position, because she gave the money and then she asked if she could come and perhaps live with us here on the community, and that she wanted to come down and have an appointment to see what it was required. Well, you see, right away I'd have to make a decision. Because this woman gives that kind of money, should I make it possible for her to come here? And so I hesitated. I wouldn't touch the money. I laid it back. I knew there was something wrong with the woman's spirit and attitude. Of course, you see, most of you people that deal with me, when I do things like this, you don't ever come to the conclusion of what a man of God is that would do something like that. I remember the first time in my life, 20 or 30 years ago, that I gave two young men their money back. Back when I didn't have hardly any money at all. One was $10,000 and the other was $45,000. The $10,000 one ended up in a mental hospital. He murdered his mother and father. But I remember very easily what happened when he gave me the $10,000. I would not touch it. I took it off over to another bank, put it in his name, and let it lay there. When the young man left in anger and whatever, he went back and got himself in a mental hospital in Philadelphia. His father came and got him out and took him home up in Massachusetts. And that's where the young man finally killed his father. But I remember in the meantime, his father calling Johnny, because his father was a professed atheist. And he was furious that I had took the boy's money. I said to him, I said, sir, I didn't take the boy's money. It's right over here in the bank in his name. He said, it is? I said, yeah. I said, are you his guardian now? He said, yes. I said, well, here's the account number, and here's what you got to do. And all you got to do is make a rate with the bank, let them know who you are, and they'll give you the money. And that's exactly what they did. They gave him the money. Of course, when he got it back and told his son about it, his son was very mentally ill. His son turned around and brutally murdered his father. I remember going to see him at the state hospital, and he come out just as, you know, he was not right in his head. And he came out, and I said to him, I said, Charles, I want you to know that what you did, don't you think you were doing God a service? Don't you believe that murdering your mother and father in cold blood, that was right? Because that was terrible. That was a simple thing. Because he felt like he was doing right. It is astonishing what a wicked mind and a wicked heart will do. Well, the second young man, he gave $45,000. And all at once, after a little while of an episode that took place, he wanted to leave. And he wanted his money back. Now, he had been here for almost a year. And all of these expenses have been paid, everything taken care of. But he wants all of his money back. So I went down to the bank. I got a cashier check, put in his name, and gave it to him. I still remember when I handed it to him, he just sort of snickered at me. I said, do you believe I'm a man of God now? No. So you see, what really was going on there is that they didn't believe that I was a man of God to begin with. They were just using their contact with me as to their advantage. And so when this woman did this, because I've had people come here with hundreds of thousands. I've had them come with gold. I've had them come here with nothing. The amount of money that people have is not the criteria for people to live with the few of us here on the farm. We're here because God sent us here, and we've given up everything. But you just can't seem to make people understand that there are people who will do that because they love the Lord, because they believe the message, and because they are going to do what God told them to do, and that is to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells you, if you do that, if you forsake mother, father, sons, and daughters, and houses and lands, for Christ's sake, you will have them in this life a hundredfold with persecution. So I was very leery about this woman who sent this money. So I gave her an invitation to come. She wanted to come for a visit. She said to have an interview on what it would take for her to live with us here. So I wrote her back, and I said, look, you can come on a Friday. We'll give you a place to stay over Friday and Saturday night. You can be with us on Saturday, and then you go back on Sunday. That's our criteria. And you're welcome to worship with us and stay with us those two nights, and then you have to leave. Well, she came on Friday. She didn't last 1 hour. Now, mind you, she had given $81,000. As I begin to try to instruct her, because she just started popping off her mouth. She, God talks to her, and she's doing what God told her to do. And I tried to tell her, woman, you don't come to a place like this and join, because there's nothing here to join. I'm telling the story now, because many of you out there, you must get it through your head. I'm coming down to South Carolina. Will you come to South Carolina all you want to? Just don't come to join us, because there's nothing here to join. And it's just like I tell you over and over again in the book of Acts. It said no man even dared to join themselves to it. So you people, you think you're going to come right up. Many will seek to enter, but they won't be able. They won't meet the necessary needs. Now what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about the wickedness of this generation. Wickedness is spiritual. It's in the heart. It's a spiritual thing. It's envy, it's pride, it's arrogance, it's haughtiness, it's fornication, it's unfaithfulness, it's wicked, it's a wicked extortionist. Yeah, see, the woman actually got to the point where I finally, let me go on. So I when she left that day, I told her, I'm going to send you money back. Within 2 days, we had her money in the bank, taken it out, put it in a check, and sent it to her. Well, when she got it, she called down here, I don't want this money back. I gave it to you, and I'm going to send it back. Well, we tried to tell her we don't want it, but she sent it back. So now I got another problem. What do I do now? Do I take the money? Do I keep it? So when the check came, I laid it aside, told the brothers to forget about it. We're not going to use it. And I wrote her back. I said, I received this check with this money. I'm not going to use it until I get a clearness that it's given as an offering to the Lord for the work of the ministry. Otherwise, I won't touch it, and that's it. Well, then now we get another email from the woman. Now again, the woman called. She would like us to send her $81,000 back. Never mind, we sent it once already. Now she sent it back, and she said God told her to give it. Now she wants her $81,000 back. She was offended by the letter because it said the door was closed to her. Now what I said to her was, you are welcome to come and have fellowship with us here in the tabernacle, in the services, just don't come to live here on the farm. That is not going to be possible. See, and now we find out that what she was trying to do with the money was to extort a lifestyle. Now she has her money back. Now that'll take care of her. We don't take care of her. That money, she can live off that with a good pension check, and that'll take care of that, won't it? Huh? But that's not the way she's going to respond, I promise you. And that's the way a lot of you won't respond. See, this wicked woman Jezebel, this self-righteous, haughty, self-religious spirit, that's what Jezebel is. She'll take on the man of God. That woman stood right in my face and just defied me. God told me. And I said, no, he did not. Yeah, I hear God just like you. No, you do not. See? But that's the way they are. So the only reason I'm telling you this story is because just a few hours after that, someone wrote me a little note and sent me a phone message, and they had a scripture on there that I probably should have used many times, but I didn't. I'd like for you to listen to it right now. As it was in the days of Noah, the wickedness of man was so great that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And they were so evil that they were doing things that ordinarily would have been not too bad, but it was ungodly. They mocked Noah, and they, for such a time as this. This is Brother Stair interposing here again on our many hours of broadcasting, trying to do it each hour so we can keep our vast audience informed, our enemies angered, our brothers and sisters encouraged. I just received an email from WRMI. The station's going to be picking us up on December the 1st and putting us on 24 hours a day on many, many, many shortwave transmitters and frequencies. The cost is going to be $40,000 per month to begin with. And we believe it's just the beginning as we see this enlarging of the Overcomer with a broadcast that will reach the world directly from here in the United States. 12 transmitters, many, many frequencies that are opened, and God has blessed us with them. I believe the total amount of transmitters is 26 altogether. And the total number of hours will be 103 per day. As I was meditating, as Brother Jeff wrote me about it, time to get the invoice and make the payment of $40,000 that would have to be paid up front. Now, it doesn't have to be paid because Jeff said send what you can, but we like to pay it up front and get it paid and have it taken care of. So that's the reason why I'm interrupting this broadcast, to inform my listeners everywhere that God is now making another move to magnify the sign, to send the voice of the prophet into every part of the world. We will pretty well cover the entire world, every nation, in an unprecedented manner, every day, for hours at a time, on many frequencies. If there's ever a time when God would speak to any of the people of God to support us, it would be you. We do not want support from the world. We don't want strength from the world. This is an opportunity for God's people to enter into the final spiritual warfare and to partake of the blessing of His blessings and protection and instruction in this last hour. If you are listening at this hour and God is speaking to you, the financial situation in the world is deteriorating very quickly. If you're ever going to give, if you're ever going to do with what you have been laid back that God has given you, now is the time. Someone out here could send $1 million. We would add many, many more stations. If we had that million, we would do it right away. We have everything in place, one or two phone calls, and we could add many, many more hours of broadcasting. I don't need the money. I don't want money at all. I want offerings. Offerings given to the Lord in gratitude and thanksgiving, because freely you have received and freely you give. It will be done, as I told you, because we watched God from a small group of supporters extend us even to this point today, to where we're on 26 short waves and 103 hours. Your opportunity to give is now. I am very confident when I say these things, because I believe that God is speaking to people and has people with 100,000, 50,000, 20,000, and even the million. Perhaps, as you listen to me now, the Holy Spirit will quicken you to rise up to the battle and to be a part in this war against the prince of darkness and the powers of the air. Why not just pray with me about it? And if God is moving upon you, pick up that phone right now and say, Brother Stair, the Lord has been speaking to me to share my money that I have laid back to get this word into all the world at this very time, for such a time as this. And I'm going to do it. If you'd like to tell us what you're going to send, you can give that amount, or just call and say, look for my letter this week. My phone number for you to call is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. The mailing address, you just address your letter to The Overcomer, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, South Carolina, and the zip code is 29488, USA. Hope to hear from you soon. Perhaps even in the next minute or so, we'll hear from one of you or two of you. God bless you, and Maranatha, I want you to take note to what God says about the wicked. I'm sure you all know that God said the wicked will be turned into hell, and all the nations, or all the people, are all the ones who forget God are going to be turned into hell. May God help you, my friend, not to let that wicked one be revealed in you. This is a very, very interesting and applicable scripture. It has to do with the kingdom of heaven and the end of the world. And believe me, my friends, if you will, we are coming to the kingdom of heaven and we are coming to the end of the world. And this little scripture will tell you what God is going and is doing.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. The bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and sever the wicked from among the just, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord.
Sever the wicked from among the just. So shall it be in the end of the world. These things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. If my people humble themselves down and pray, seek my face, they will find wickedness within them. I will identify it, and they turn from their wicked ways. If you don't allow the Spirit of God to help you to do that, then you will be separated from among the just. The warning of Almighty Yahweh to those who heed, may they heed and take
Babylon is fallen, saith the Lord.
Mystery Babylon the Great. And in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. So many statements in the Word of God that seem so contrary to human reasoning or contemplation. We often explain that because those are spiritual entities that God's talking about, trying to magnify it to us through natural or carnal things. And the carnal mind has very well been documented by you and me. It is not subject to the law of God. It will not accept the Word of God. The Scripture tells us that to be carnally minded is death, or separation from God or truth. And the carnal mind cannot and will not accept anything concerning the spiritual God or God in the Spirit. So,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many years ago, I told you over and over again that the wealth of the world, I reiterate this to you one more time in the hopes that maybe you will hear me eventually and you will take note to the things that I've spoken to you over the years. It was way back in, God, I don't know, 40 years ago, I was out on a cow pasture outside of Lancaster County, praying for God to give me a little bit of money to pay a bill, as I was renting a hall in Lancaster for a meeting, and I didn't have the money. So I spent a good part of the day on my face praying to God. It was there when he told me many things about the financial system that is now unfolding. At that time, I had no real conception of why he told me or what. I was asking for some money, just a little bit. And God began to talk to me. And today, what he talked to me is so viable as he prepared me for this hour. He told me that the wealth of the world, he told me, just a young man, that the wealth of the world was controlled by 100 men. He told me at the top of that list of 100 men, there were three entities comprised of men who controlled the entire wealth of the entire world. Then he told me who they were. He said, it's the international bankers, which we have come to know as the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, whatever their names may be. Then he told me it would be the brotherhood or unionized workers. At that time, I wasn't quite sure what he meant when he said brotherhood. But today, I'm sure that most of you realize that much of the conflict, politically, economically, socially, worldwide, is involving both the bankers and the brotherhood. Then he told me the third entity would be, and is, the Roman Catholic Church. And today, my friends, you may think that the Roman Catholic Church has lost its influence, but you don't know what's going on. You don't have any idea. The unholy trinity that rules the world, the bankers, the brotherhood, and the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican billions. The Roman Catholic Church rules over more than 2 billion of the world's 6 billion people. That's over 2 billion people under the domination of the religious system of the Roman Church. The staggering wealth of the Vatican includes enormous investments with the Rothschilds, the bankers, in Britain, France, and the USA, and with giant oil and weapons corporations like Shell, General Electric. The Vatican's solid gold bullion stored with the Rothschild Control Bank of England and the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank is worth untold billions. The Vatican is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in existence. She possesses more material wealth than any bank, corporation, giant trust, or government anywhere on the globe. While two-thirds of the world earns less than $2 a day, and one-fifth of the world is underfed, some even starving to death, the Vatican hoards the world's wealth and profits from it on the financial markets, and at the same time, fleeces as much as possible from even its poorest adherents. Like Vatican City, huh? London's financial district is also a privately owned corporation, or a city-state. It's located right smack in the heart of Greater London. It became a sovereign state in 1694 when King William III of Orange privatized and turned the Bank of England over to the bankers. Today, the city-state of London is the world's financial power center. It houses the Rothschild-controlled Bank of England, Lloyd's of London, the London Stock Exchange, and all British branches of banks. The branch office of 385 foreign banks and 70 U.S. banks. It has its own courts, its own laws, its own flag, and its own police force. It is not part of Greater London, England, or the British Commonwealth, and it pays no taxes. the city-state of London houses Fleet Street newspapers and publishing monopolies. It is also the headquarters for worldwide English Freemasonry and headquarters for the worldwide money cartel known as the Crown. The Crown is not the royal family or the British monarch. The Crown is a private corporation of London. It has a council of 12 members who rule the corporation under a major called the Lord Mayor. The Lord Mayor and his 12-member council serves as proxies who sit in for 13 of the world's wealthiest, most powerful banking families. The ring of 13 ruling families include the Rothschild family, the Warburg family, the Oppenheimer family, the Schiff family. These families and their descendants run the Crown Corporation of London. The Crown Corporation holds the title to worldwide crown land in crown colonies like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The British Parliament and the British Prime Minister serve as public trust for these ruling crown families. All of these serve the Vatican as a result and have become very rich while maintaining their wealth. Like the Vatican and the Corporation of London, a third city-state was officially created on land ceded by the several Catholic colonies of land in 1790 as the first act of the American Constitution. The icon of the Constitution was hidden from those who would not perceive nor even suspect that the hidden hand behind the reason given for popular consumption to form a more perfect union than had the Articles of Confederation, when the secession movement swept the South threatening the Empire's D.C. power center in the New World Order, the election leading up to the Civil War had one candidate who stumped ferociously for preserving the Union. Isn't it amazing, my friend, Washington, D.C. is the third in the trinity of these states within states, these powerful entities that control the wealth of the world and nations and people. When they came over here from England, the Vatican did not want to lose its foothold for total control on the continent, so it backed the unwittling Abraham Lincoln and pushed him to keep his pledge to preserve the Union at any cost, even the cost of the lives of hundreds of thousands of American fathers and sons launched us into a civil war after the war when Lincoln had turned his back on the money powers and generally sought to restore the South to equal footing and original intent of the Union. He had outlived his usefulness and he was taken out. The post-war, post-assassination era was just the crisis that the Empire needed to mold America into an image more to its liking. The first giant leap in the takeover of the free nation had just succeeded. With its consequent reconstruction, the 14th Amendment and the Act of 1871, America would never be the same again. The next giant leap would include the 1930 Federal Reserve Corporation of the United States Treasury, the introduction of the world's first reserve currency, the Federal Reserve Note, its subsequent Great Depression, and the numbering of all Americans through the Social Security system. That's when we start to see the implementation of a mark that would identify your cooperation with the beast. Soon, these numbers that are being placed on all of these different things, cards and phone numbers and house numbers and address numbers and whatever the kind of number, will be placed in your body to identify your position in the New World Order. The cause that began in America has now spread to every nation on earth. A new social order. The transformation of the American beast from land-like to dragon is today nearly ambiguous. Although geographically separate, the three states of the Vatican, the Corporation of London, and the District of Columbia are one interlocking empire called the Empire of the Sea. The flag of the District of Columbia has three red stars, one for each city-state and the three-city empire. The Tripartition Union controls the world economically through London's Square Mile Financial District, military through the District of Columbia. The U.S. Army, with the Vatican its head and spiritual as well as temporal seat for the Vicar of Christ on earth, the Pope, who will strengthen the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I am bringing that to you now is because we have spoken about these things for years. And now we're witnessing that these things are taking place right before our very eyes. Let me just go to another incident. An email comes to me. My email address is lasttime@overcomerministry.org. God bless you, Brother Stair. God bless you today and tonight. The Overcomer broadcast is coming through very good here in southwest Vermont. I woke up before midnight. I had a vision of the millions of dollars it would be to cover, as I heard Dr. Gene Scott one day say, to cover every inch of the earth would take millions of dollars. And in this vision, the Overcomer was worldwide, and so the finances were being provided. I am thankful and praying with the saints of God for the coming of Christ, even though it be of destruction, it be the coming of Christ Jesus and the end of all things. God bless you, prophet. Hold fast and hold, stay the course. So my email address is Brother Stair at overcomingministry.org. Ladies and gentlemen, the end of all things is upon us. Many people are talking. We've heard about a climate warming. We heard about upheavals of earthquakes and famines. And we've seen the magnitude of destruction on the earth. Just reading again today of another episode that took place up in Philadelphia where they had a massive brawl in a school system where the teachers and school administrators said, "We can't control these young people. They smoke, they drink, they cuss, they fight, they kill." Wow. What a time we live in, huh? And in the midst of all that, we're so occupied with daily living that we forget the admonitions and the warnings and the things that are taking place all around about us. The last several days, there's been a lot of talk from various sources concerning some kind of a mysterious comet that's sweeping through the universe. One of the last reports we heard is that they expect it not only past the sun, but they tell us it's going to have a direct hit on the sun. Wow. A direct hit. With that being done, they tell it that the sun will be darkened for several days. A gentleman writes, he's quite well known on the internet as a prophecy writer. His name is Raymond Aquilier. He writes on the website a brief description of what is to come. Listen to it now. I don't know this man, but I have read some of his writings, and his writings and his words fall in line with the time we're living in. Listen to this. A brief description of what is to come. Next line. The hour of darkness provisionally speculated. This is Brother Stair. I'd like to give you an update on our email. We're getting ready to send out another email newsletter, and we'd like to have you, if you so desire, have your name on our email newsletter. Here's how you do that. You go up to our website, and you go to contact page, and there you will find where you can subscribe to the Overcomer newsletter. You go to the website at www.overcomerministry.org. Go to the contact page, and there you will find a little notation on how to subscribe. And you just follow the instructions, put your name on the email newsletter, and it will go automatically there. Just go to our website, or send me an email. Just send me an email at lasttime, LASTIME, lasttime@overcomerministry.org. That's lasttime, LASTIME, @overcomerministry.org. And we'll get your name on the email subscription list, and we can get the email newsletter to you as often as we put it out. Hope to hear from you soon. Maranatha Revelation is November 28, 2013. When the 3 days of darkness arrives, he says, I will be expecting nuclear war, or the oil sabotage, a collapse of the economy, looting of the marketplace, nation will rise against nation, the dead shall rise, the marching orders given to the prophets who are chosen before the foundation of the earth, there will be volcanic eruptions, great earthquakes, beginning with the great California earthquake. How long have we heard that? About the California earthquake. The wise virgins will have their lamps, be prepared to endure. This includes being prepared basically with a supply of food and water and the things that will be necessary to maintain a living testimony to the power of God. The Ark of the Covenant will be revealed. Wickedness and lies will be exposed, and the wicked will have their lamp put out. I think I read that yesterday about how God talked about the kingdom of heaven, where he said, in the end of the world, he will send his angel, messengers, spirits, and they will sever the wicked from among the just. It's a time for the church to be perfected, the work of God to be completed, is upon us. Psalms 119:62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Isaiah 60:1-2, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to people, but Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 8:20, to the law, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Truly, the day of his judgment has come. Blow you a trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my most holy mountain. Let all the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It is nigh at hand. There are several other visions and prophecies talking about 3 days of darkness that they tell us is coming November 28, 2013, and that this Ison comet would be the cause of it by hitting the sun instead of shooting around it. It is highlighted as a speculative prediction. We're speculating and using what men have come up with in the secular world to back it up. Not too many more days now to see if that will take place. Of the coming of the Son of Man. The day of the Lord is at hand. It is nigh at hand. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign, and then shall be magnified around the whole world. I will send my messenger just before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Let the Spirit of God quicken that to you, because there's nothing I can do to forewarn you any more than I've already done. The hour of His judgment, the judge is at the door, the door is about to be shut, the saints are going to be in the ark, and Satan is going to rage, but he will not overcome them. He will fight with them, he will have his way in fighting, but he will not overcome the church, the saints, the bride. Blessed be
anyone
the name.
Anyone ever listening to any bona fide, God-fearing man of God who's preaching to you today, the only message he should be giving you is warning you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, I know exactly how some of you are going to answer me on that. You're going to say, we're not appointed to wrath. And that is true. The children of God, the elected, the chosen, they are not appointed to the wrath of God, which is the final judgment at the end of the 1,000-year period of time. However, the people of God are absolutely the target for the wrath of Satan. And I say that to you very carefully and very precisely, whether you like it or whether you don't. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. The Bible is going to come to fulfillment. The Word of God is going to be accomplished and fulfilled. One of the scriptures tells us this, that heaven and earth will pass away, and the earth and all that therein is shall be burned up. That's it. The Word of God's going to stand when everything else is going to be consumed. That's the truth. Now, the Bible is a pattern. It is a roadmap. It is a warning. It's an admonition. It was written by holy men for their time period, to relate to us in our time period certain events and things. I often quote the Word to you. Often do it. The things that were written before our time, they were written for our admonition, for our warning, for our awakening. We upon whom the ends, I always like to stop right there, the ends, E-N-D-S, plural, upon whom the ends of the world have come. The harvest is the end of the world. And in the end of the world, God is going to bring the end of all things of the world. The politics, the economics, the religious systems of the world, the social applications of the world, they're all going to end. And that's the truth. Now, in the Bible, it tells us that right here at the end, when the Antichrist, or Satan, in a man. Am I saying it clear enough? Satan in a man. Jesus Christ was God manifested or made known in flesh or in a man. Satan is going to be manifested and made known and revealed in a man. And as God was in Christ, reconciling all of his children to him, Satan is going to be in a man and identifying all his children as his. And that's the truth. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's out of my hand. I preach to you what I believe. I preach what I believe needs to be believed, and that's it. Now, over the last, what, how many, 10, 15 years maybe, we've heard over and over again about the thing called the mark of the beast. The story about it is found in the book of Revelation, where it's talking about an end time government, and this is not a conspiracy theory. You conspiracy theory. I'm not theorizing. I am not doing that at all. I'm not telling you a hypothetical or something that may come about. I'm telling you what thus saith the Lord. The Bible tells us that the end time ruler, the one in whom Satan will dwell in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the international worldwide broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the last day prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give you some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are, and what you're listening at, or what frequency you're tuned into, or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website, if you have the opportunity to go to our website. There on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. You just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call. If you have access to the phone, our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, you just take the time to contact us.
With finance.